This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR!
Tuesday afternoon, you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away again today, Sarah, love.
We're chilling.
We're missing him now. This is three weeks in a row. I think he's on his way back from somewhere over Colombia. Might be back already or
somewhere
in transit.
Incredibly exotic.
I think like that. But we do miss him. He will be back next week, which
yes.
is good because we...
So rest assured.
We miss our Doc Brown on the show. How you doing anyway? You're good?
I am good. It's been another crazy week, but a good one. And everyone's complaining about like the winter at the moment, but I'm actually loving it.
Yeah,
I love
this time
of year. Yeah,
it's been chilly, but like beautiful, beautiful blue skies.
Yeah, so no, I'm happy. And how you had crazy busy weekend? Like
yeah,
award shows and
yeah,
the celebrity lifestyle you're living.
Well, oh, far from. Yeah, we did that the musical comedy awards. I didn't win. I didn't get through. That's
boo.
That's right. But I did have
a
good
screw
time.
Them.
Yeah,
we don't care about them anyway.
I'm excited to have coming up on the show today a couple of very very talented female hip hop artists.
Yeah,
Grace Savage. Now you and Grace Savage, obviously a beatboxer, incredible beatboxer, like being crowned a UK champion twice already, and doing kudos from Will Smith.
Kudos. How many of us can say we got like kudos from Will Smith?
Yeah, not many of me.
Killing it.
Also, Angel MC, who you know personally, you're doing something with at the moment. Is that
yes,
right?
and Grace. Yeah, so both of these ladies are just absolute fire, really go-getters, women doing it for themselves. They're super talented, so it'll be lovely to hear from them later. And, you know, we're going to get some live performance from them, hopefully, too, in the show. Maybe hear some beatbox sound effects and rapidy raps.
The rapidy raps, can't wait. So that'll be just after 5, they're going to be coming. So it's a bit of a Just Us Girls kind of show today, isn't it?
You're tuning in
just
to
us
your
girls.
Feminine side. So you're going to be overwhelmed with estrogen.
Well... Thank my lucky stars, I was brought up by a single mother, hey? So there we go.
Yes. But it is like National Women's Day or week or something like that. I feel really...
International, it is.
International.
Thank you, man.
That's just like, get it right. Yeah. I feel so ashamed of myself. I'm like, don't even know about these things, and I'm going to be one of these strong sisters out there killing it for the ladies.
Is that today? Is International Women's Day today?
No, Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Monday.
I feel so...
Sunday. All right. We've got... Producer Nat,
okay,
as
we
like
really
God
got to work on this
ears.
To give it yeah. its correct props, Hugh.
Thanks to the
otherwise,
research team, which is us.
We're just totally undermining the movement, aren't we? So,
yeah.
So I guess it's in theme with that, isn't it, that we're going to have lots of female energy in the place.
All about it. Well, it's all about balance. Like when you were away a couple of weeks ago and it was myself and Doc here and it did get pretty boysy up in her. Pretty boysy. So it's good. We'll get into that today.
And hey. Throughout the show, I've picked out a whole gang of like tunes from some ill female artists too.
Cool.
So to add to the theme.
Amazing, amazing. Do you believe in like...
Ghosts?
Ghosts?
No.
No.
Well, I've never experienced it myself. I don't believe in death. So
right.
Maybe we can get into that conversation in the next. I believe in the Mumra, the ever living.
Oh.
No, we're all part of this continual cycle that's been going on for billions and billions of years.
Yeah.
Which, that's all quite deep, really, isn't it? For 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's very deep. Yeah. It's very deep.
no, sorry. What were you going
to
ask me?
I wanted to know if you believe in signs, like signs from the universe.
Oh, wow,
that's
signs,
pretty deep as well.
You say. Signs.
Signs. Do you believe in signs?
For sure.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I believe in Mother Nature, the power of the universe directing things and all of that good stuff for sure.
I believe in that too. Now, I was brought up by a bit of
Are you taking the piss out of me?
A bit of a hippie mother. I was brought up, hippie parents, actually. So I was always brought up around, you know, my mum's an astrologist and, Chinese numerology. All that. So she's very big on, ask the universe for a sign. The universe is going to give you a sign. If you need a sign, you just ask. I've got a sign. Just as I was walking into the FUBAR office before, I got a sign.
Really?
I like to think that this was a sign from the universe.
Wow, did it smack you in the face?
Pretty much. Oh, actually, even close. I tripped over it. Look what I found. A little cardboard sign on the floor that said agility. A little
wow.
cardboard.
That's almost creepy.
Do you reckon?
When it's sort of like, what's that about?
I don't know, but it's definitely a sign from the universe.
What did you interpret that to mean then? As a sign from the universe speaking to you.
Go to yoga?
I think so too. I think you got that spot on.
Be more flexible. Don't be so rigid in life.
See, it's deep. I think you should put that on the mantelpiece when you get home.
There is just something else.
Meditate on it.
There's something else about this sign that I haven't shown you. So on one side, just so one, because obviously you won't be able to see
agility.
It. If you're listening right now, it's a little cardboard thing. It's probably about, 15 centimetres long, about 7 or 8 centimetres high. It's just a little cardboard
scrawled
piece
on with a marker pen.
Marker pen, agility. And then on the other side, I picked it up and I was like, oh, good on you, universe.
Yeah,
maybe that's
for
a sign that I do need to be a bit more flexible, maybe.
Capture that, yeah.
And then I picked it up and I was really pondering over it, going, this is some deep shit. This is deep. Till I saw the other side, which said Geo Logistics. And I thought, maybe it wasn't a sign. Maybe I just made this whole fucking thing up in my head. Maybe it's not a sign from the universe at all.
Or maybe it was.
You reckon?
I reckon it is.
Well, I'm not too sure about it.
Geo Logistics. So what did you interpret from the message from Geo Logistics?
I interpreted that I was going way too deep into a little cardboard sign that had agility written on it with a bloody black marker.
But you see, things like that, I'm always so curious as to like, okay, who the hell wrote that? Like, why have they written agility? There's like no explanation behind it. It's very curious.
It is very, very strange. I saw another weird sign in the paper yesterday as well, which I wanted to talk to you about up next because I'm really not sure. And after seeing this sign in the paper and finding my agility / geo-geolistics sign this morning. I'm not sure about signs at all anymore.
Oh, no!
No, I'm really not sure.
You're not confident that the universe is conspiring?
I'm not sure. We'll
find
out
next. I can't wait to hear what this is.
You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Souls of Mischief, 93 till infinity. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown away again today. But that's fine, because we got you covered. We're just talking about science. Well, it started off as science from the universe, because I found a sign this morning. And I'm a big believer in finding signs from the universe, you know?
And then
getting
just
little
disregarding
hints,
them.
Hints in the right direction for life. I'm a big believer in that. I found a little sign that said agility on the floor, and I was like, there you go. That's a good one. I need that. Be more flexible in life, you. That's a good one. But on the other side, I found it this morning walking into FUBAR. On the other side, it said geologistics, and I was like, that's a crap sign. Crap sign. It's got nothing. I've just made this whole thing up in my head.
You got all deep with yourself for like 30 seconds. All the 30 seconds, then you're like, oh, geologistics.
Well, so these things, like, they can be, I find them very, very curious sometimes. Like signs, slogans, or little things that you could potentially take some meaning from.
But it's a whole science, really,
it
isn't
is.
It? Like, people, but there's companies paying like millions of pounds for people to, you know, research this stuff and work our minds, man, without us even knowing.
I know. It is weird. Well, and I don't know, again, if this is something because, like, you know, from the whole Australian and Englishing, maybe it just means something different. I don't know.
Mm.
But I was just flipping through the paper yesterday and I saw an ad for a UK steam rail tour presented by the Railway Touring Company. Mm. And the big business headline, the sign, the big slogan at the top says, "The Cock of the North."
Beautiful.
What does that mean? Can I just show that? I'll put it up on our FUBAR Facebook. You can make of it what you will.
Oh, the North.
The Cock of the North. What is going on there?
It does.
That's promoting the steam train.
It's pretty phallic.
Thank you very much. That's weird, right? Is it just me, or is that I'm looking at a steam train?
That's like ye olde England speak.
Is it?
I don't know, but I reckon that's probably how they think they're getting away with it. Just like, yeah. No, this is how they used to talk back in the day. They weren't crude like you modern folk.
Oh, yeah, I know. I do have a pretty puerile sense of humour. So I see them like, Steve Jankoff. But I started looking into this a little bit more because I reckon I was thinking, as soon as I saw that, I was like, surely that's not the first time there's been a really bad business slogan. And I did actually find quite a few, which I thought were a little bit curious, to say the least. One was, this is for a business slogan for an auto repair transmission, like a mechanics. And it says, "We guarantee fast service no matter how long it takes." I was like... Yeah, I don't know.
That's brilliant. I love that.
I don't know if that's probably the best one. I don't know if that's really going to like it. If that's a sign,
that you're confusing me. My brain is hurting.
I don't get it. There was plenty more.
Actually, last week in the States, I drove past it was some kind of like a car workshop place, but it was called Lube Up.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I'm so childish. I'm probably the only person on this freeway who's seen that and found that amusing. Well, but they really put money into like that making that whole song. You know, they dedicated their business to that name.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, these would have been bounced. No matter how shitty the marketing department was of these businesses, there's definitely at least a couple of people there putting their heads together going, what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, like this one I saw for a daycare. And the slogan, it says, "We touch the ones you care about the most." And I was thinking,
I hope not.
That's probably not the best one. I'm probably going to...
We'll not be taking anyone. We love the most there.
How could people like, you know, if it's something like lube up and it's funny and you're like, oh yeah, that's, you know, someone's like having a bit of a laugh. They're having a bit of a laugh. But you're not really, you don't want to be too comical when you come to a daycare. Someone screwed up really bad. There's literally, this picture is like the front of the building, big, big bold, "We touch the ones you care about the most."
Someone didn't think that through properly.
No, they really didn't. But this one's a little bit pure. I like this one. Like the lube up. It's for a drilling company in the States. "Your hole is our goal."
Have you heard about paws?
No.
You've never heard about paws in the States? Have this, you know, so anything like innuendo like that, where to cancel out the innuendo, you have to say pause afterwards.
Really?
So it's like that. You'd be like, pause.
Is that kind of like going, don't take any offence. You're a dickhead. I hate you. No offence. I can't take offence. I said, don't take offence.
Or the other good one is like, "With respect, you're a dickhead."
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, it means you have no respect. No, but pause is more like sexual innuendo.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in that instance, they need to put pause in brackets after that.
Maybe a little bit like this shoe store called Jerkin, and the slogan says, "Stop working, start jerking."
Pause.
Yeah. That's real. Why would you say that? Like, is that not weird?
It's because there's sweet, innocent, gentle people out there who aren't sick and twisted like us.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
And they're completely naive to any of this dark world side of the world that we inhabit.
All right, what about this one?
No, that you inhabit.
Yeah, that me. I look for these things. I'm like, cock of the north. You know the Golden Gay Times, those ice creams? Do you have those?
No.
Oh, they're so delicious. Like
Golden Gate or Gay?
Gay. Golden Gay Time. They are really,
that
really nice.
Fantastic.
They're kind of, it's like vanilla ice cream, and they're wrapped in like chocolate and then like crumbled nuts and stuff on the outside. Like, they really are delicious. But they had a very famous slogan back in the 80s, which was quite funny.
Is this an Aussie thing?
Well, it must be. I just assumed it was like an ice cream that possibly around.
No, it should be worldwide famous.
They're really,
yeah, I can imagine that being a bestseller.
They really are delicious. Really
Golden Gay.
Golden Gay Time, they're called.
Wonderful.
And the slogan was, "It's hard to have a gay time on your own."
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Oh, amazing.
That is brilliant. I love it.
Oh, now we were talking about something quite funny just before we started, Sarah, about women proposing to men.
Yeah.
Now, something has happened pretty funny. It's kind of funny. It's a little bit disturbing as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit mashup, really, because one of the most hated women in the UK. It's like, I don't even want to say her name because she's so horrible. Like, how can you like have fun out of like just, you know, her whole thing is getting attention from just being really nasty, and it's not even nasty in like a boom boom, like just joking with you kind of way. It's like just out and out. I'm just really, I'm going to say the most hurtful thing I can imagine to you. So anyway, this lady, who I'm sure many of us know who we're talking about, she recently fired some shots at Danny Dyer, who lots of British people love him. And because his wife has proposed to him. And so I think they've been together like 20 something years or whatever. And he said yes. And so it's like, rejoice. Like, everyone's really happy for them. But then this horrible lady was like, you know, said something nasty on Twitter, like cussing him for being emasculated by his girlfriend proposing and saying that a woman should never propose to a man. And that's just a total no-no. And it's just saying that it's outrageous. And so I'm just like, I don't think it's outrageous. I think it's, why not?
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Coming up next, right, I'm going to tell you, when I was proposed to by a woman.
Ooh.
I was proposed
I'm
to by a woman.
I'm looking forward to hearing
And
about
then,
this.
Also, I want to get you to slag this person off. I want you to say their name, slag off. It's coming up next, right after Salt and Pepper. You're on FUBAR with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Yo, Herb, take it from the top.
Salt and Pepper, my mic sounds nice. You're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, Doc Brown away today. And yeah, a bit of a Just Us Girls show today. we're going to be having a couple of very, very talented female hip-hop artists joining us just after 5. Grace Savage and Angel MC. Now, what we've been talking about, is it okay for a woman to propose to a man?
Yes.
Now, look, I personally would think this is a little bit of a no-brainer, but...
Oh, wow.
But apparently, of course it's all right for women. But, like, I guess the things we're talking about, the Danny Dyer, who, of course, plays Mick Carter in EastEnders.
His girlfriend proposed to him, like hardcore geezer.
And his girlfriend just proposed to him, which is lovely.
And he said yes, and he's super proud about it.
And then she who shall not be named.
Because we're not giving
Mrs. Voldemort. Don't want to say her name?
Gargamel or something. No, I don't want to say her name. Like, why promote this chief? Come on, okay. We all know who it is.
All right, cool. So we're avoiding that.
But she was just a hater, Mrs. Hater.
Yeah, but she was slagging Danny Dyer off on Twitter, saying how emasculating, da 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 da, and he basically just told her to get stuffed.
Yeah,
I was like, you know,
he kind of shut her down in a really cool way. He killed her with kindness, which was quite fun.
Yeah,
I think he was. Also just she was trying to say, like, well, obviously he doesn't really want to marry her if she's had to propose. So some people would take that angle, isn't it? If the woman is having to propose, like, really, does the dude want to get married?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Well,
and you can speak from experience, Hugh.
Yeah,
speaking from the Aussie men, which Aussie men, I'd say, are pretty, like, you know, masculine.
Me? Thank you. Hang on, can you say that again? I'm just going to quickly record that on my phone. I think that might have been you might be the first person to say that.
No, but you know, like, how Aussie dudes is very, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. We do want to know from you as well. Is it okay for a woman to propose to a man? You can hit us up at FUBAR Radio on the Twitter and Facebook. Look, I totally think it's fine. I think it's fine to the point where, yes, I have been proposed to before.
I know. I want to hear this story, so break it down.
Okay, it was so romantic. All right, so we were in Byron Bay.
I'm already virtually crying. Oh my god, Byron Bay! I love Byron Bay.
We're in Byron Bay. We had been fighting a lot, and we were really, really drunk at a nightclub. And then I think I went to get some drinks. And then came back.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just...
Ouch, because I'm kind of like, you know, spilling my deepest, darkest, most hurtful feelings here. And you're just laughing at me.
I'm sorry.
Thanks. It's not a safe place. The studio's not a safe place.
No.
So I come back with a couple of drinks. And then she was down on the ground. I thought she dropped something. I was like, oh, what'd you drop? And she's like, no. Will you marry me?
Wow.
I was like, wow, I did.
She's on one knee and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she got down. She didn't have a ring or anything. It was obviously just like a spare of the moment kind of last thing.
Budget proposal. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty wild. Yeah, I said yes.
Oh.
I said yes. And then I think we broke up like a week later.
Oh, too much pressure. So what, had she thought about this beforehand? Like, had she planned to, oh, we're going to be in Byron, this will be so romantic, I'll do it then? Or was it literally just in that moment she was suddenly like, I reckon I might propose.
Yeah, yeah.
Something to do.
No, I think it might have been a bit like that, because she was kind of in shock the next day as well. Because, I mean, afterwards we were like, yeah, we were really pissed. And we were like, yeah, we're getting married. Everybody, we're getting married.
And then suddenly you're like, okay, hold on. I don't quite think through what I'm signing up for here.
Well, I mean, we'd just been having a hard time anyway. It hadn't been going very well anyway. And we can't ever go back to that bar again, because we told everyone we're getting engaged and we got free drinks all night and a little party.
So it was worth it after all anyway.
Yeah, it's got one of those hustles where you just turn up and go, oh, it's my birthday. Oh, g'day. We've got an email here. This is from Ed in Kentish Town saying, hey, guys, I consider myself a bit of a manly man. Always thought I'd be the one to propose to my lady. The last leap year, my missus asked me to marry her at a barbecue and lost it. I cried like a baby and I said yes immediately. I've always said the real men don't cry, so I've had to live with that down ever since. My mates don't go easy on me.
Oh, what's his name?
It's Ed in Kentish Town. Good on you, Ed.
Go, Ed. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. There's nothing wrong with shedding a tear, man.
No, not at all. I cry watching Neighbours. I cry all the time.
I cry watching Bargain Hunt. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, no. I'm like, that was such a good deal.
Oh, 50p. 50p for a little plate. Oh, my God.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah. And I love the way he's like confessing, you know, I'm a manly man and never cry. But, you know, he was moved to tears. That's wonderful. And props to his lady for just taking the bull by the horns and dealing with the situation. I think it's all good. Like, people need to get over all this stuff. It's like, if women want equality, like, I would say, I have to admit, which this is a bit controversial, I've never labelled myself a feminist, but I'm an egalitarian. I'm into equality for all. It's like, if we want to be treated equally, we need to act equally. So, in my opinion, I think there's no issue with proposing.
No.
But what do you guys think? I would love to hear from you as well. 0330-223-0200. Give us a call. Is it okay for women to propose to their man? I have to say, on Boxing Day just gone as well, my sister's partner proposed to my sister in front of our whole family.
Oh, nice.
And it was lovely. There were many a tear shed that day. Yeah, and I just think spreading love is the message. Universal message.
We've just got another email. You can email us as well. It is tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com, or hit us up on the Twitter and Facebook at Fubar Radio. We've got an email from Dylan saying men should propose to women. End of story. Full stop.
He's just like, I got one sentence for you guys and I'm out.
But what I think that I'm just going to take a shot in the dark here and say maybe 90% of men that have been proposed to by a woman would feel some sense of being slightly, like, maybe not emasculated about it, but feeling like, you know, it's going against tradition. I bet you, even though, like, in a very liberal world where people, because I just think it's totally fine. Who cares? Like, you know, whatever. A guy in India married a goat. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Whatever you want. I don't care.
As long as you're not hurting other people. But why would you feel emasculated?
Well, because I think it's like, you know, a chivalrous thing. You know, like, a bit
that,
chivalrous.
Does that exist?
Doesn't it?
Does it?
Really? I still open doors for girls. I do all stuff like that.
You see, this is why she proposed, because she saw in you. Yeah.
In fact, where I was. Oh, that's right. I was at the Comedy Awards thing on the weekend, and I was walking through a door, down some steps to go into the venue, and a girl was walking up, and I stood aside and went, no, there you go. I'll wait for you. And do you know what she did?
What?
She looked me up and down and went,
see, that
she
makes
made a little fart
sick.
Noise and like,
that
she
makes me sick.
Down.
You know what you should have done? You should have slammed the door in her face. No. I'm all on the kill them with kindness technique. No, because someone told me they offered a lady a seat on the bus, and the woman turned around and was like, do I look disabled or something?
Wow.
I was just like, yeah, women, man, you want to complain about chivalry? Well, you need to act like lovely ladies and be courteous, you know, reciprocate.
Absolutely.
You know, but I'm all for, I'm all for, like, traditional roles too. I wouldn't be mad about. No, I have been proposed to, actually. I think, do you have to, is there a sense of feeling obligated to say yes if someone proposes to you as well?
Oh, look at that. That's for me, I would just do it because I'm just like, well, I'd be too offended to too scared to hurt someone's feelings.
That's what I'm saying.
Even if I didn't like them that much, I'd go, sure. Yes.
Yeah.
And I would stay in a marriage for, say, 15 years. Just so, it's like, is that long enough? Is that long enough now that I've, like, technically given it a shot? Can I go now?
Got a mortgage together.
We've got a few more emails and stuff coming in. We'll get into those up next. And the question we're asking is it okay for a woman to propose to a man? And we'll get your calls and we'll get all your feedback up next. Here is Love, Almost September, MC Light. You're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Love. Spread love, people. Spread love.
That's it. Get wild. Propose to your partner.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a woman. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, and Doc's away today. Be back next week. But we are talking about, is it okay for a woman to propose to a man? Now, Danny Dyer, who, of course, plays Mick Carter on EastEnders, his girlfriend just proposed to him, which is a
real life.
In real life.
In real life.
Fantastic
not
story.
Even though EastEnders is pretty real, man.
It is. I was shattered to find out that was not like live to air TV, but okay, whatever, it's fine. But yeah, and then he's obviously she who shall not be named has been slagging Danny off on Twitter. We've decided we don't want to give her any more publicity. We're not even going to say
name.
She
doesn't need it because she thrives off of that, and she's just spreading hatred throughout the universe. But we want to spread love,
exactly.
And so I'm so happy for Danny Dyer that he's happy with his missus to be, and that she felt she had the cojones to propose.
Yeah.
You know, and is it okay to propose? I personally think it's all good, but I'm curious to know what you guys think. Remember, you can hit us up on the phone 0330-223-0200. But we have a dude calling from Kent. Henrik on the line. Are you there, man?
Hello, here I am.
Hey, hey.
Alrighty.
So what do you think about this, Henrik? Is it okay for women to propose men?
I did read about this, and I must admit, I was absolutely amazed. Absolutely amazed that Danny Dyer was still famous. I did not know that.
So that's what took you back about the story more than anything. I guess you don't watch EastEnders. That's probably the problem.
No, actually, I don't. I honestly don't. I'm sorry.
I have to
confess to that. But no, I'm surprised that this is a thing. I mean, because
what,
I believe...
Danny Dyer or being proposed to?
No, okay, yeah, now that we've... Yeah, okay, no, you know, absolutely. No, I would be honored to have somebody propose to me. I don't get why. I mean, last time I checked, I don't know, when I think about, you know, this is shocking that women should propose. It's like the people in Mary Poppins, right? You know, she's going off to be a suffragette and he's the man of the house and wears a bowler hat and everything. I think we're at a point where people should be able to declare their love for each other.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Henry, can I ask you though? Like, what I was just saying before is that even if a woman did propose, which I think is totally fine in every sense, it's totally fine, but do you think as a guy you would still feel a little bit like, oh well, it would have been nice if I did it, it would have been chivalry and all sort of stuff like that, or do you think that's just
no I mean, seriously, I can't see that as being any less masculine. You should see it as like the best compliment ever.
Woo!
Frankly,
go
right?
Henrik,
yeah,
loving it.
I mean, it's a little late for me. I've been, you know, happily married for almost 30 years. You know, I can't necessarily go back and say, can we do it again? Can we get a you know, redo on this? But you know, I could see that if I was single and someone actually asked me, that would be the best.
I'm loving Henrik's take on this. And 30 years marriage, Henrik. Yeah. What's the secret? How do you make
don't
it?
Don't ever propose.
Well,
she
puts up with an awful lot. You have to be able to forgive each other. You have to be able to keep in mind that the other person is going to make mistakes and that you've probably made far more. And you just have to be accepting of each other and know that at the end of the day, I mean, she's all I've got, and vice versa.
Do you know, that's really, really sweet. It could have been summed up very, very shortly to happy wife, happy life, angry wife, get the knife. Just make sure
nice.
She's happy.
Nice. Like it.
Now, you know what my dad's always told me about marriage? He said, men get married and they think she'll never change, but she does. And women get married and think he will change, but he doesn't.
Yeah, that sounds about right, too.
All right, Henrik and Sarah, what do you think about this one? He's got an email from Mike in Feltham saying that he says, hi, Sarah and Hugh. Hello, Mike.
Hey.
I like the traditional way where the guy gets down on one knee. I think it's romantic. I wouldn't feel right for me if my girlfriend proposed. It's something you think and plan when you're together. I have my own nice plan on how I would go about proposing to my girlfriend. I think if she got in ahead of me, I'd be pretty gutted. I'd be happy, but it wouldn't quite feel right for me.
Well, I guess the bottom line then is guys have got to step up. If they ain't comfortable with it, they got to step up and deal with the situation. Otherwise, nothing's going to be happening.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's got to come down to the individual couple because, you know, you're going to have your people that are more outgoing. You're going to have your people that are more receptive. And you can't just say, you know, all men are going to do this, all women are going to do that.
And
it just doesn't fly anymore. That just doesn't work.
Yes, this is modern era. It's 2015. So how does this all fit in then in terms of like we're facing this new era of same-sex, we're embracing same-sex marriage in this country.
Well,
so
exactly,
how does that
fit? Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a contradiction on all of that as well, isn't it? If we're saying that, oh no, women can't propose to men.
Seriously, if the man has to do the proposing, lesbians will never get married. It just won't happen.
Okay, I'm going to be really, really brutally honest about something here, which I don't at all feel comfortable about saying.
Okay.
But I'm only going to say this because my ex is in Australia.
You're at a safe distance. She can't kill you.
Hopefully, you won't hear this. All right. This is really, really bad, right? So this is, okay, I feel really weird saying this. I'm going to say it anyway, all right? Because okay. I want to be honest on this show. Yeah. Open up and be honest.
It's okay. You're amongst supportive friends.
So this is with me and my ex, who will remain nameless anyway, even if she's on the other side of the world. But we'd been together for maybe 4 years or something like that, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then we had a conversation basically where she said, okay, we've been together for ages. We either need to buy a house, have a baby, or get married, or I'm out.
And so she put the gun to your head.
She put the gun to my head, and I was like,
she's like, what you gonna do?
Okay, cool. Food for thought.
And I'll get back to you about that.
And then I did. I ended up proposing to her, and
like we had the whole thing. You were bullied into it.
Well, we were over in we were in Europe at, a couple months later. So I was like, well, that's perfect. We'd planned a day trip to Paris. We were on a cruise on the River Seine, and I had the ring, and I did the whole thing. Got down on one knee on the cruise, and we got engaged, and then we came back and we had an engagement party in Australia, and this whole thing. Da da da. And then we split up like about a year later or something like that.
You're like a veteran in this.
I am a serial engagementer.
Serial heartbreaker.
Yeah, but that I just remembered that one as well. But
so you're like a treasure trove.
No, my point is, she kind of proposed to me. Kind
inadvertently.
Of.
Yeah.
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
She vicariously through you proposed.
Yeah, she kind of proposed because she kind of said, do it or I'm gone.
Or else I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Wow. But you see, given that kind of a choice, you know, we're going to have to either get married or have a kid or whatever. Maybe take a baby step. Maybe like get a cat. You know,
or run.
Yeah,
and leave
but,
the country.
You know, short term commitment.
Move the other
Let's
side
go for
of the
short term commitment.
Oh,
you know,
amazing. Anyway. All right, I'm going to go to a quick song, and we've got heaps more feedback coming in on this. So do feel free to hit us up. You can email tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com or at foobarradio on the Twitter and Facebook, or you can call. Sell the number. You're so good at saying the number.
033-022-30200.
Give us a call. Hendrik, thank you so much for your opinion, mate. That was great.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, nice guy. You're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. It's Lady Six with Jasmine DL, a very, very talented lady from New Zealand.
Love her.
Absolute legend. Yeah, she's very, very cool. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away. He'll be back next week. And we've got some more very, very talented female hip-hop artists joining us in the studio in less than 20 minutes. We've got Grace Savage, a very, very well-known and talented beatboxer, twice UK champion, and also Angel MC, who is just very, very busy, very talented, and doing lots of cool stuff, including a doco at the moment.
So I'm looking forward to you guys hearing all from her about the amazing work that she's doing across the country. But we have been talking about women proposing, keeping with the female... Mm. You know, centric theme.
Just
women proposing to
girls.
Men, if if that's okay. And it sounds like he's a bit of a veteran in this department. But no, we've had some interesting different angles on this subject. And I'm loving hearing what, like, the FUBAR listeners' opinions are on this.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You can hit us up at Tuesday Drive at FUBAR Radio on the email, that's.com, or the Facebook and the Twitter at FUBAR Radio. We've got Tina from Croydon. She's emailed in saying that her and her husband, they basically agree to just get married. We were sitting in the kitchen. I turned to my husband and said, do you think we should get married? And he said, sure, I'd love a coffee. Hang on, what? No, she didn't say that. Her husband said, he didn't even look up from the newspaper he was reading, and he just very casually said, yeah, right then.
Oh, that's love. That's love. That's keeping it real.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't need all the crazy fireworks and all of that. Yeah. Just keep it simple.
Yeah, well, you can do a girl like that. I know of a guy that proposed to his girlfriend with like a Burger King chip. It's like a ring chip.
Like an onion ring.
Yeah, it's like an onion ring chip. And
but less smelly.
He said, like, he told me he was sitting in the car with her, and then he just was like, do you want a chip? She's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, no, I'll get it for you. Put it on her finger. I went, you marry me, babe.
Oh,
she's like, wow. Thanks. Cheesy onion ring.
That's amazing. Nice. I know a friend of mine, her husband proposed to her. He took her on holiday to a private island in the Pacific. And then they were having like this amazing romantic meal. And then he asked her, and the moment she said yes, he had arranged for all these fireworks to go off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bloody
and so
hell.
It's kind of like, damn, I can't imagine anyone. I'm going to be able to beat that.
No, and you don't want your partner to hear shit like that as well. Because they expect something really, really big. We also had Stacey from Salisbury. She emailed us in saying, hi, I'm a woman and I would never propose to a man. If he loved me and wanted to marry me, then that's his job to make me his wife. I always let men I'm dating within 3 months know that if they haven't proposed within a year, I'm out of there.
Damn!
She says she's single at the moment, but she knows that her man is just around the corner. Right?
I love it. Right. I love it.
This is great. Well, we wanted to hear from you. Is it okay for a woman to propose to a man? Now, if you've just tuned in, the reason we're talking about this is EastEnders' Danny Dyer, who cosplays Mick Carter. His girlfriend just proposed to him, and then he's been getting trolled on the internet, and we think it's crap. But at the same time, we want to know your opinion. So there you go.
I love how she's on it. Like, she's focused. She knows what she wants.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, focused on that aim.
I'm envisioning here, like, when she looks at the potential man, it's kind of like the Terminator. Potential partner.
We're not mocking you. No, yeah, like I'm in admiration. Like, maybe I need to take a few more cues from her, and I could progress my situation.
Yeah.
Well, so what's your name? Just to let you know, in 3 months' time, we need to be engaged.
Yes,
and if we're not, I will hunt you down.
Well, look, I feel like this is totally one of those things where it is everyone's opinion. Whatever you feel is right is fine. It's like, you know what I mean? She's not wrong because she thinks like that, or they're not wrong because, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
No, whatever works for you. Horses for courses,
absolutely. We've also had another email from Flo in Essex, and Flo says, I don't think I'd ever propose to a guy. I think it's just a fear of the rejection.
Aww.
Okay. I think I'd like to know that my partner is ready to spend the rest of his life with me by him doing the proposing.
See, I think everyone can kind of relate to that, can't they, a bit? Well, I would never say never. I would never say that I would never propose to a guy, because that could be a bit fun. Something to do, isn't it?
Something to do
on a Saturday afternoon. But
don't even look up from the paper. Yeah, right then.
It would be. It's amazing for someone to feel so strongly and to be prepared to propose to you. That's incredible. Someone did actually propose to me once, and my answer was, I would really like to say yes.
Yeah.
But. Right. So that was the closest. I couldn't actually say no. How can you say no?
What happened? What was the circumstances?
He lived in another country, and it was kind of like that make or break point, I guess, where he didn't know what else to do. It gave me an amazing ring and everything.
Wow.
But the best answer I could give him was, I would really like to be able to say yes.
Well, why couldn't you? Because it was the long distance thing, or
And I just had so much going on in my career at that time. It just wasn't the right time. But we're still really good friends.
Yeah, we're still really good friends.
So you see, it was well managed. It was well managed.
He's not actually trying to kill me or anything like that. He's playing the long game. He's like, she'll come around.
It's possible.
And also, I really appreciate that you, Sarah, and producing that really giving me heaps of shit because I've been engaged twice. Both times failed miserably. Now you think that I'm just I'm a serial engagement or
just a heartbreaker.
No, far from. Hey?
You are a heartbreaker.
Producer Sad says I'm the runaway bride.
Yeah.
Well, it is just us girls today, isn't it, on this show. Thanks so much for all your feedback on that. And where are we sitting with that? It looks pretty split, I'd say.
It does seem quite. So it's interesting, isn't it? Like, I would have thought, like, by now that people would be sort of like, yeah, all good, whatever. Whatevs, mate.
Well, I think it's also, you know, maybe a bit of the fantasy of it as well. You know what I mean? Like the Hollywood movie.
How much Prince of Charming. It does come from that, where it's like we're sold of what this idea of what marriage should be and how it should happen. How much of this is just your own ideas, and how much has been taught to you by media?
It's deep, man. I've met a lot of girls that live their romantic life purely through their eyes of The Notebook.
I know.
And they're like, oh, I'm a bird, you're a bird. No shit. Like, I don't know. And I'm like, what? That ain't real life.
It's quite scary, really.
Yeah, it certainly is very, very scary. You're a FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Thanks so much for all your feedback on that. And moving on now. Let's get into something else. ODB. On FUBAR, you with Sarah Hugh and Dr. Doc Brown away today. We'll be back next week. He's doing another marathon. God, he's amazingly fit. Did you know that? Swims 20Ks, runs 20Ks.
He looks it.
Yeah. He's a good guy, Annie Doc Brown. Hey, something I did want to ask you about, if you've heard anything about this, because I saw this, and I think it might have popped up on my Facebook feed over the weekend, and it was some kind of like Crime Watch thing or something like that.
Okay.
But what had happened was there's a guy, a businessman in a business suit, doing business business phone calls on his business phone, you know, walking businessy. And then some, well, I'm assuming it was a relatively young person. You couldn't really see, they're wearing a hoodie and everything, but pretty young person. Hoons passed on a bike, snatches it out, phone out of his hand, and just hoons off down the street. And they were like, this is happening more and more and more. And I was like, really? He's like drive-by phone snatching on push bikes. Is that a thing?
I thought this has always been happening.
Really?
I thought it was happening less.
That was the first time I saw it.
That's just like standard. Anywhere you go in the world, yeah, I'm just like, can't just be walking around with the phone up like that.
People just snatching. Because what if I...
Because I've always also thought like everyone and their auntie's got an iPhone. So really, is it that high like a value commodity?
Well, I think
it's easy to get your hands on a phone.
You get a few hundred quid for it. You can get a few hundred quid for it if you sell it.
Man, there's another avenue we can pursue.
Because I got an iPhone, iPhone 5, and I cracked my screen and was getting the screen fixed, and they were like, oh, I definitely get it fixed. If you want to resell it, you could sell it for 300 quid. Easy.
Wow.
Easy, easy. But do I need to be really aware of like not being on my phone?
I think it kind of depends where you are. I mean, where we're at right now, the food bar studio.
Yeah, pretty sketchy. Producer Nat's pretty sketchy.
Yeah, you've got to keep your eye on
her. I don't even
her.
Like using my phone outside. I don't like using my phone anymore.
I always keep my phone on my person. Yeah. The people ideas, you know. No, I think it depends where you are, like, definitely. And then certain people like are more targets than others. Like tourists, you stick out like a sore thumb, don't you? If you're just like wandering around like with a map in your hand, like not really paying attention to what's going on around. And yeah, I guess in these tough financial times, people are looking for easy.
Opportune.
Yeah.
Well, there was another flip to it. I thought, actually, this is fucking great that this happens, because what it might do is it might get people to stop being on their phones when they're walking down the street.
Yeah,
because the amount of shit and trouble that they cause walking into things or bumping into you because they're texting someone or they're on Facebook. I even saw somebody walking up the street the other day who bumped into me, and I looked, I don't know why, I was like, you know, just being a creep, and I was like, look at their phone. They're playing like a game, like a Candy Crush game or some shit like that.
Yeah.
While they're walking up the street, I'm like, really? Are our attention spans that bad now? I can't even be bothered not being entertained while I walk up the street that I have to be playing a game on my phone.
But the one I'm always surprised about nowadays on the tube, on the underground system in London, you'll even see people with like their laptop out, like on their laptop, and I'm always just like, wow, like that's incredible, like to be that brazen and that confident in your fellow passengers to even have your laptop out.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty amazing, because back in the day it wasn't like that. You know, when I first got, well, I didn't have it. When my dad first got a mobile phone, my sister, and if me and my sister went out, he would lend us the mobile phone so we could call him when we needed to be picked up. So we were pretty young at this time. But at those days, you would be ridiculed for using a mobile. So we'd go into the phone box to use the mobile phone because we didn't want to be. But, you know, also you just didn't want to be out on the street just flashing like this device around.
Well, I had that a few weeks ago. I just finished a gig, and I was trying to get the bus home. It was quite late, about 3 a.m. or something like that, and I was trying to use City Mapper to figure out how the hell to get home, and my phone died, and I was like, I'm screwed, because I like City Mapper is like, I cannot survive without it while I'm here. Like, I desperately need it. So I had to like go into a McDonald's or something like that, and the only way I could charge my phone, because I couldn't find any plugs or anything, was to get my laptop out.
Like someone, you were the person.
I was the person in McDonald's charging my phone on my laptop, on my Mac at like 4 a.m. And I'm like, shit, this is really, really bad.
You're going to be followed home.
Well, I did. Well, when I got out of when I finally figured out where I was going and my phone was charged, I like zigzagged down the street, hiding behind trees, making sure no one's following me, doing the whole thing.
Loops
zigzag.
To throw them off. Yeah.
Still got my laptop. We are very, very close now to getting Grace Savage and Angel MC in the studio, not far away at all.
You're about to hear some ill skills, people, so keep it locked.
That's right. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Is you with me?
Missy Elliott, Bring the Pain featuring Method Man there. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown away today, but hashtag just us girls, because I tell you what, Sarah Love, we've got, we're playing, you picked out, personally picked out heaps of good female rap artists and singers as well that we're going to play today, and we're joined by two very, 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 very talented guests today as well. One of those being Grace Savage right now. Now, she is not only being crowned twice UK Beatbox Champion, also, this is, just reading this now as well, LUK's Top 100 Inspiring Women. We're in that list.
Mm-hmm. Killing it.
That. Welcome to the studio. It's so great to have you in.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Yeah, no, you're being bombarded by incredible female talent today.
Yeah.
But no, it's so lovely to be here, have you here, Grace, because we were working together a little bit on this documentary that Channel 4 are making, which is all about women in hip-hop. We're going to have another guest later in the show who's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But I want to know, how does a lady end up getting into beatboxing? Because women are always, people are always like to me, oh, female DJ, like, how's that work in such a male-dominated field and all that? But beatboxing, what was the first, like, what tempted you to get into it?
Well, you met Bellatrix, didn't you, when we did the Women in Hip-Hop documentary?
Yeah.
We're actually from the same town in Devon, a little town called Crediton, but there happened to be a lot of beatboxers when we were growing up. And she got into it when she was about 14, 15. And I saw her doing it and was just inspired by her and started learning from there, really.
Illness.
And I spent a lot of time on YouTube in my room, like, practicing.
I mean, how many other female beatboxers do you know?
But that's the strange thing, or the fascinating thing, I guess, is that me and Belle are one of the only two in the country.
That's what I'm saying.
That are professional. And we're from this little, like, West Country town, proper hippieville. But you'd be surprised, there's quite a big, like, hip-hop scene in the West Country, like Bristol and Devon. Mm-hmm. We'd be, like, going out to drum and bass raves when we were, like, 14, 15, really influenced by hip-hop culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, musically, then, is it, like, more from the hip-hop perspective that you think you feel you draw from? Or?
I think that's definitely where it started. But I think as I've progressed as an adult, as a woman, as an artist, I've sort of personally drawn away from hip hop a bit more.
Okay.
I reference it when I do mashups and things like that on stage with a solo beatbox set. But my music, as hopefully you'll hear in a minute, is not really hip hop at all.
How did you find? How have you found, like, having, like, as you said, only literally a handful of female beatboxers in the UK? How have you found the process of, you know, becoming professional to being able to get shows and get gigs and stuff like that? What was it? Did you feel like you were hitting a few brick walls with it because not many people had done it before, not many females? Or
I don't know. I get asked this question a lot, and I think. I've never wanted to say, you know, oh, it's been really hard for me as a woman, because you kind of just get on with it and just do it. And I've never faced any real proper, like, sexism in my face. I mean, you look on YouTube comments and there's people say some awful things on there, and you think,
keyboard warriors.
Yeah, would they say that if I was a bloke, if I was a guy beatboxing, or are they just saying that because of my gender? But generally, I've been really embraced by the beatbox community as a whole. And if anything, I guess it's probably worked in my favour because it makes me a bit more unique.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking, because if there is only a handful of people as well, like, I think it is definitely a niche, obviously, that, you know, if you can have such a good stronghold on it as well, it can work in your favour.
But then who am I to know that someone is booking a beatboxer for a gig and then looks at my name, looks at a boy's name, and then goes, I'll book the guy, because they're used to thinking men are better? I don't know. That would be a massive judgment of me saying that. But personally, to my face, I've not really experienced anyone going, God, you must be awful because you're a female.
Yeah, I get asked that question often as well about, like, being a female DJ, and it's like, why are not more women want to be DJs? They're like, I have no clue. I'm the one doing it. You need to go and ask someone who doesn't want to do it, because they're like, I don't know how this works. But sorry, you were going to ask something.
No, not at all. No.
I mean, who then, like, beatbox wise, do you watch or pay attention to? Or you mentioned Bellatrix, but are there any other, like, names?
Yeah, but when I started learning, like, the best thing to do is to watch other beatboxers and learn from other beatboxers. It's like when you learn to play the guitar, you learn covers. Yeah. That's how you develop songwriting skills. You have to imitate other people. But I always made sure I didn't watch other beatboxers too much, because then you don't develop your own style. So I don't really draw that much influence from beatboxers' style exactly. But people like Shlomo, who's been around for ages, he has been quite an influence in my career in terms of getting me loads of gigs when I first moved to London, and encouraging me to keep going. He encouraged Belle to create the first ever Boxettes, which is a female a cappella group, which we were in. I take a lot of my influence from loads of strong female artists, like Amy Winehouse, Eva Cassidy, Missy Elliott. Not necessarily beatboxers.
Yeah, one of my earliest memories of hip-hop, actually, is I must have been about 6 years old, but being with my sisters, and we were rapping along to Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick Record, The Show, and which had... the Dougie Fresh style of like beatboxing was a very different style of beatboxing to how what beatboxing is now. Where now it's more like a like you say, a fusion of different sorts of sounds. Don't you reckon?
Well, it takes influence. Beatboxers imitate the music, the genres that are around them. So, as drum and bass music was coming through, and suddenly there's all these really complex, fast rhythms, beatboxers started going, "Oh, how do I do that?" So it went from like basic hip hop rhythms to. And like when dubstep came out, beatboxers must have started going, how do I imitate that sort of synth sound that I can hear in there? And it got a lot
slower.
Two
Transformers having sex. How do I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
How do I do that with my mouth?
And that's what it is. You have to be a geek in the first place, I think. And beatboxers develop as music develops. And technically, it's gone to a level which is mental at the moment, if you think where it started with Dougie Fresh. And
Well, I mean, looking at your career as well, like, I mean, how quickly have things moved for you? Because even now, like, we're, seeing that you've... you know, had your STB TV debut. You got a solo show, a theatre show called Show Blind.
Blind.
And there, which The Guardian did a big feature on you of that as a champion big boxer, raising your voice for women. It was saying, so like this is like some big things. And even we were saying before about the being on the LUK's Top 100 Inspiring Women list. That's alongside like Angelina Jolie, Oprah Winfrey. It's going good. Like, how has it been like a steady thing? Sorry, I'm Australian. I'm actually Welsh. But has it been a steady thing for you, or has it seemed like you sort of you were working really hard for a while, and then things just sort of jumped quite quickly? Or
yeah, I felt maybe they have. Yeah, I studied theatre at Leeds Uni. I graduated in 2010. And then spent a few months just being unemployed on the dole, like going down the job centre, thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? And things gradually started happening. I started teaching workshops. I got asked to do a show. And it has been a gradual process of getting the more people you know, the more gigs you do, the more people recommend you, the more experience you get. And in the past year, it does feel like it's sort of catapulted quite fast. Like all those things that you've just read then happened in the past year, really. And they're quite notable achievements in my career.
And so how long have you been beatboxing for then?
I've been actually beatboxing for probably about 9 years. About 9 years. But professionally, probably more like 5.
Yeah, and a little bit away from the purest beatboxing light. I'm trying to remember dude's name. I think it's Michael something, but the guy from Police
Academy.
Michael Winslow. Yay! I love him.
Yeah, he's like a
tender part of my childhood. You know how it's like he's incredible. He's got some weird genetic skills of impersonating sounds and things. Can you, for all beatboxers, is it a case of like we could just name something and you could replicate that sound?
Every beatboxer has like their own sound bank. You know, like how a singer has their own individual runs that they'll do and use in songs. Or because everyone's voice is so unique, your beatboxing voice is going to be unique as well. And it depends on... There are certain sounds that every beatboxer has to be able to do, which for the basic percussion sounds, kick drum, hi-hat, and snare. And then you can do any rhythm you want. With just 3 sounds. But then, so for my lack of throat bass, which is like this weird growly thing that people do to create synth sounds, I replace that with a snore bass, which would be a... So like... Whereas some of the beatboxers wouldn't have learned that, I wouldn't be able to do it. It's such an individual thing, which makes it stand out from like, I don't know, learning the piano or an instrument, I guess.
But you actually have some music out, is that correct? Or we have a track of yours?
Yeah, so I was doing a talent contest about 3 years ago and a producer spotted me and said, do you sing? And I was like, yeah, in the shower in my bedroom, but not really publicly. And she invited me to the studio and I sung her an Amy Winehouse song on the guitar or something really badly. And we started to write songs together. She's been developing me as an artist and we've got about over 30 songs together now.
Oh, so this is not beatbox related at all then?
Well, it started off beatbox, guitar and vocals. It was really basic, but now the production's really updated and there's hardly any beatboxing in the tracks. It's more something I just do for the live experience.
Right, well, I want to check it out. Yeah. It's called it's Grace Savage, of course, and she's joining us in the studio right now. Diamonds on Your Skin is the name of it. You happy to stick around with us?
Uh-huh.
Maybe get you to do something a little live up next?
Sure.
Yeah, you're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, and here is Grace's tune right now. That's Grace Savage, Diamonds on Your Skin, the name of that one. Grace is joining us in the studio right now on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, Doc Brown, is away.
So that's you singing on that track?
That is me, yeah, tis I.
Lovely. And then that's you and another lady who's making the
who's music. Doing the production, yeah, Dee Adam.
Wicked. And so tell us about this Pledge Music thing. How's that all working?
So, yeah, I'm releasing an EP, my first EP, and that song is going to be on there. And it's a crowdfunding website, like Kickstarter. It's called Pledge Music. And I'm at 92% of my target.
Oh,
so
nice.
A tiny bit more to go.
Oh, well, how much then, was the target?
Oh, I don't know if I should say.
No. That's secret info, top secret info.
It's a few grand, not okay. Loads, but enough to pay for mixing and mastering a music video. I mean, it'll be gone in seconds.
Oh, yeah. And that's the important thing so many people have to remember, like when they're stealing music off online and stuff. Yeah. It's like it takes a lot of time and money to make these things happen. Yeah. So, you know, if you appreciate what good artists like Grace are doing, like do your little bit and chip in.
People don't realise how much effort goes into one that 3-minute song.
Yeah.
And how much
and months,
years of experience months. And skills. Yeah. And they just go, right, click, download, illegal.
And where can people find all the details for that?
That's on pledgemusic.com/Grace Savage Official.
Now, people at home, I know they would have loved those little teasers of beatboxing that you gave us of how you create your sound effects library and everything. But we're wondering maybe you can give us a little showcase and now a little maybe minute demo of what beatboxing sounds like.
I apologise if I spit all over your microphone.
Okay, I'll step back.
No, that's fine. Mine's over here. I'm on the other side of the desk. It's fine. Spit as much as you want.
That's Doc's mic. Yeah. You can deal with it.
There's been much worse. There's been much worse.
Okay.
Grace making those noises. We didn't just play like a CD or something that was made on the computer. And even Will Smith himself said, your beatboxing is incredible. You sound like an MP3.
Who says MP3 anymore? That's showing his age, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
Amazing. That's Grace Savage. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. So much fun.
And are you going to hold tight for us? Because we've got another guest coming through who I know you are acquainted with also.
Definitely.
So, yeah, looking forward to hearing from my main lady, Angel, coming up soon.
Coming up next.
Yes.
Let's get him in next. And all three of you are going to be on the same TV show coming up
soon. But
right?
We'll
get into that.
Yeah, from the top lady, from Angel herself.
All right, not too far away. Right here on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Bit of a classic there.
Yeah.
From a certified G, the Queen Latifah. She's had it up to here. You're listening to Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2, but Doc is not with us. And it's a bit of a female takeover on today's show.
Certainly is.
We just heard some ill skills from the lady like Grace kicking the beatbox.
Yeah,
and now we're joined by the one and only Wonder Woman, killing it in London right now for the ladies. It's Angel's in the house. What's up, girl?
Welcome. Hey, everyone. I'm good. How are you?
Yes, it is wonderful to see you. I've not seen you this year. And I'm always just so blown away by everything that you're up to, because you seem to just not sit still at all, and you're just constantly pushing the culture of hip-hop forward and everything, representing Lyrically Challenged. What is Lyrically Challenged, for those who don't know?
Okay, so Lyrically Challenged is a spoken word and hip-hop movement, but we represent all five elements of hip-hop, so which is turntablism, beatbox, graffiti, rap, and what's the other one? My brain just like dead today. Breakdancing. Yeah, so basically, because hip hop is an expression from the suppressed people, you know, and for people to be able to speak up and be heard, but it's not just a rap or a DJ thing, it's about all the other elements as well. So we really work hard to promote the whole culture of hip hop rather than just being focused on DJs and MCs, which a lot of hip hop seems to have built the conception that that's what hip hop is, but it's a lot more than that.
But you also do this like through live events.
Yes.
Yeah. So this isn't just like an online Facebook page. Like this is real life.
We got 300 likes.
This is like breathing people, like actual people. Yeah. So what, how does the events actually work?
Okay, so the event, we just had our fifth birthday bash. It was absolutely crazy at Passing Clouds in Dalston. There were queues around the blocks for 6 hours long. It was one in, one out.
Wow.
Like, really good friends queued 2 hours to get in. They were so adamant to get in, I couldn't come and help them. It was just crazy. Aww. So it's like a nine-hour festival when we do it at Passing Clouds. We start off with spoken word upstairs and we have open mic, which is always a real space for people to come and share who they really are. So people share quite deep stories. Then we have featured acts. So for the birthday bash, we had Baby Soul and we had a poet called Natasha. She's beautiful. Then we had big live acts downstairs following up 4/7 Soul, a Palestinian hip hop band. We had Itch, who's formerly of King Blues, Revealed from Poisonous Poets, and Sonny Green was there, and lots of other artists. So it was a massive extravaganza. And then we take it down to the floor and we create a circle and everybody was ciphering like crazy. And we had beatboxing and we had people doing graffiti upstairs. It was just, it was so beautiful and the energy just flowed so nice. But it's also about switching between the audience and the crowd and having that feeling of participation, and that it's more of a community vibe than just going to watch a show.
And yeah. I was so gutted that I couldn't make it, because that was your 5-year anniversary party,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it takes so much to work consistently building events. Even just putting a one-off event on is like so much hard work. So to reach a landmark like 5 years, like that is some serious props. Like, it ain't an easy job doing promoting, is it?
Thank you. No, it's literally, it takes over the entire being. Like, my entire being gets taken over. It becomes every thought of my entire day, all my energy, everything. But now it's more building into a big team. I work with Shady on all the events, and we've now got a little volunteer team of young people that we're training. So they like go out and do all the flyering. So we no longer have to be on the street.
You're like, flying. Send the whippersnappers out there to earn their stripes. Yeah. I'm keeping cozy inside of the cover team.
Well, it gives us more chance to go and visit the artists who are being part of the event. I really want to have more of a heart-to-heart connections with everyone who's involved in it, so we can build a real energy before the event happens and everybody feels like they're part of it and contributes to it. And I feel that's what makes a really buzzing, successful event.
And I think it's so wonderful as well to create these platforms, because it's so, things have become so egotistical. I mean, if you look on one end of the spectrum when you have someone like Kanye, where it's just like me, and it's like promoting that mentality. But you know, you guys really promote this, like, you know, it's all about showing love to people whose hearts are in the right place and creating the platform for people like Grace to shine. You know, this is important.
And also, like, when you have an event like this, do you find that you do get a big flux of younger people that do want to get involved more? Like, is there a lot of outlets for younger people, especially like female hip-hop artists, if they want to get involved in whatever element there is? When you have a big party like that, are you finding there's a bit more of a flux of people that want to get involved?
We have loads of young people that come down to get involved. But unfortunately, young people don't really know about live events that are going on. I youth work, and I brought some of my young people that I work with to my event. They were like, wow, like they never knew that that kind of event happened. And after that, they completely humbled themselves and actually started listening to what I was talking to them about.
Rather than being keyboard warriors,
yeah,
where it's like you live on your computer or on your mobile.
They absolutely like smashed it in the studio, but they've reached a level where they can't go any further. So everyone's in this YouTube culture. They've got millions of YouTube hits and they think that that equals a kind of like fame sort of status, but not realizing that there's a whole live scene. If you actually want to make a living as an artist, you need to go out there and do that. So it's always really beautiful when we teach workshops and have the opportunity to bring the young people to a live event and create opportunities within a cypher, which is a tradition that's been going on for many, many years now, which you don't see in so many events, because it's about watching an artist that you paid to come and see instead of the real ethos of hip hop, which is people coming and sharing stories and passing the mic around and teaching each other and growing from each other and becoming inspired. One of my young people was just so humbled and so inspired. When he got home, he said he couldn't speak for hours. He was so blown away by how incredible the rappers were that jumped up on the cypher. And to me, that's why I run the event, to have that kind of effect and to inspire people to step up to the next level.
And I think it's so valuable too in this online era that we are all living in, you know, because it's like I was talking about this on the radio just last week in the States, saying that when I think back at some of my favorite, like my golden classic memories, like in life, not just like in hip hop, it's being places with people that we've shared a moment together. And it's like, you know, actually being there, it's like my golden memories aren't, oh, one day on MySpace I saw someone wrote this amazing comment, or oh, there was 15 likes on this post. That's not how life works. So, you know, to me, Lyrically Challenged really embodies that. But you are also an MC, you are also an artist yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I like to rap.
You like to kick your rap into raps.
I like to rap. It's pretty fun.
And we'd love to hear some of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were hoping we could maybe get you some. Maybe, well, because we've still got Grey Savage in the studio as well. So maybe a little jam.
I've tried
still
to
lurking around.
Conspire.
We'd love to.
All right, we just completely put you both on the spot. We'll do a go to a song right now, and then we come back. We'll see if we can get this to happen. And you're on FUBAR.
Oh, Sarah Tor, Hugh, and another ill Doc female two. MC.
Yeah,
love
just us girls,
track.
Right? Just us girls. That's right. Yeah. That's Tor. Striving, the name of that one. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown away today, be back next week. Does not matter. In fact, if Doc was here today, it wouldn't matter shit anyway, because there's nowhere for him to sit. We've got so many guests in the studio. We don't need no Doc. We're having just us girls today. We've got Angel MC on my left.
Hello. What's going on?
We still got Grey Savage over there in the middle. Hello. Sarah Love, she's a new cinematographer.
Vanished to the corner.
She is. Now, this is great. You guys, Angel and Grace, you guys are going to do something together now, a little jam for
do
us.
Do a little ting, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Drop a little jam, you know, top of the dome.
With Angel's husky voice.
With my husky voice, and my brain works a little slower when I've got a cold, so I'm going to do my best.
Yeah, I don't know, because both of you guys are sick, actually, at the moment, are you?
Well, yeah, we're sick.
That's a little bit sick.
You're sick.
Actually,
sorry, you're both rather unwell. Is that right?
Well,
right, you are.
It's been cold for ages. So what can we expect? You know, we're in London. It's been cold for a long time, and I think the body is just like, please, can I have some vitamin D on a daily basis? Can I have light until 10 o'clock at night? And you know, the body's just asking for something different right now.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah. A completely spontaneous jam right now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Live in the studio.
What sort of tempo? Like
whatever. Let's just
whatever. Okay.
Whatever. We just freestyle. Yeah. All right. Freestyling with Grey Savage on the radio. This is from the top of the Don flow, so it's not written before. From the straight, from the top of my head, it can't be ignored. FUBAR Radio, this is how we do. We represent for all of the crews, cause we love every single people in the world, whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Take the smile, travel the extra mile, do it now, this is how we roll. Sarah Love, this is how we do. Representing for all of you. I love hip hop, that's why I rap. Bring it right now when I kill it on the track. Ripping and I'm spitting and I'm bringing and I'm giving pure vibes from my heart, and that's I'm feeling. Yeah, big up.
All right, that was Angel MC and Grey Savage beatboxing there live in the studio. Sarah, how'd you go filming all of that?
Hip-hop.
Yeah.
Hip-hop.
Hey, what I did want to talk about is this show. We've only got a few minutes left, but for this new TV show. So,
well, actually, part of how we were working together last year, I was Angel asked me to go and DJ for her, because she was approached by Channel 4 and Lonesome Pines Production to make a documentary about this incredible event that Angel is behind, Lyrically Challenged. So, yeah, tell the people about the show. Like, what is this going to be?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a show called Women in Hip Hop. I don't know what Lonesome Pine Productions are calling it, but Women in Hip Hop sounds pretty cool. And so it's representing all five elements in hip hop, in my personal opinion, my favourite female artists in the industry. So it's got Sarah Love representing on the decks, Grey Savage and Bellatrix on the beatbox, Rhymes from Boadicea Dance Crew. It's got the LC Collective, which is myself, Emma Pryor, Serena Reynolds and Shady, and we've got Girls on Top Graffiti Crew, as well as Weirdo. So in my opinion, these are the forerunners in the industry who are also pioneers and business women and women who have really contributed towards hip-hop culture in their individual elements.
So I produced a show. We produced it for our album launch. We got some funding from PRS, Women Make Music Fund, which gave us enough funds to be able to afford to book these women, because just on the events we were running at Passing Clouds, we weren't creating enough revenue. So thank you very much to PRS Women Make Music for creating that opportunity for us to be able to make these connections. Marianne from Lonesome Pine Productions came down and watched the show. She loved it, so we recreated it for Channel 4 in November, and it's coming out this year. And we don't know when the date is yet, because they're talking about extending it. It was going to be 10 minutes, and now they're in talks about making it a lot longer. So
2 hour feature needs, film.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
looking,
what we
They're
mean.
Looking for Oscar nominations.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I signed up for.
Yeah, and the director just won a BAFTA as well.
Sick!
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
So the female director, and it's an all-female production team, so it's an absolute all-women thing, and it's a groundbreaking project. It's never been done before. I don't think anywhere in the world women have never been shown in this way in hip-hop, in the world, on a TV show. So it's a groundbreaking idea, and I'm really excited to see it and honoured to work with you guys.
Oh, it was just my honour to be part of it, and it was such a cool day. Like the whole event and just the vibes in the place to be was just so wicked, and hats off to you for putting that all together, because that is no easy feat, you know. And it was just interesting, because when they were interviewing me for the documentary, and I was saying to them, you know, traditionally and from the early days, women have always been a part of hip hop, and they were like, no way, seriously? And so it's just so curious how far we've come to a point where it's like a you know, it's a strange thing to see a woman rapping or beatboxing or DJing, but you know, really, we were there since the inception. So you've brought us full circle, really.
Let's keep doing that. And yeah, I just love it, and just so honored to work with everyone on the project, and just excited to keep pushing hip hop. Really excited for our next event. We've got another one on the 27th of March at Passing Clouds. I'm going to be launching my mixtape there as well, which is like a little 10-year collection of work. Some of my old tunes, some new tunes that I've written, which is featuring like Baby Souls on there. Itch from King Blues, Nutty P has produced most of it. And it's just a little journey of my work that I just wanted to put out as a free download. There'll be some CDs to buy, and we've got some really cool bands coming up. Someone called Imperial Works, Chester P is performing at that event, my friend Lena Cullen, and it's going to be a really banging event. So come to Passing Clouds. Plus there's the open mic, but there's going to be a really limited amount of slots. We were literally one in, one out, and the slots went by like 7:30. Doors open at 7 o'clock. There's going to be 8 limited open mic spoken word slots. If you'd like one, come down and get one. Passing Clouds.
What's the web Amazing, address? How can they find you online to get in touch?
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/lyricallychallengeduk. Come and check us out, and yeah, talk to us, but just come to the event. Passing Clouds, 27th of March. It's going to be on from 7 till 4 in the morning. It's a full party. It's going to be absolutely slamming. We are expecting queues around the block again, so be involved.
Sounds like a festival.
It is a festival. It is a festival. It's a festival of love.
Yeah,
because we love hip hop.
So it's Angel MC we've got in the studio now, right now. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're not well, but you smashed it. It was great having you.
Thank you.
Really love it. And Grace Savage as well, still here.
Thank you. Grace, how can people track you down online? Give them the details of where to find you.
Great, yeah. Grace Savage Official on Facebook, and @_Grace Savage on the Twitter sphere.
Wonderful. Beautiful. So yeah, reach out to these beautiful ladies. They're working hard, doing good things for the people, not just hip hop, for the people.
That's right. And coming up next, brand new segment, You Taking the Piss Tuesday. We're going to get into that shortly. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Domestic Science, that is featuring Wildflower, Temper, Estelle, Skits, and you're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Doc Brown is away. Be back next week.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, keep it, your messages coming through to us. You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Email us tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com and give me a call on 0330-223-0200, because I want to know. I think there's so many instances. Well, we were talking about getting lost in translation last week. You know, there's so many differences. I was in the States last week, and how there's just little phrases where, you know, Americans have no idea what you're talking about. Even we're separated by a common language. And, you know, so there's one phrase which definitely Americans do not know is, are you taking the piss? Because they're just kind of like, huh, why are you talking about urinating?
And I collect you, right? And I'm going to the bathroom to take some piss.
But in Aussie, you say taking the piss, isn't it?
Nah, not really.
No?
Nah.
I don't even know where it started from, actually.
What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
What are you fucking saying?
But I don't even know where it started from. But I was thinking, you know, there's so many instances we all encounter where, I'm sorry, people are just straight up taking the piss.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand what taking the piss means, it's like you're taking liberties, basically. Yeah. So I thought we need to bring a regular feature to the show. Are you taking the piss Tuesdays?
Well, Sarah, what has happened? I want to know what's happened to you as well.
Well,
what's happened to you to make you want to do this?
It's just a minor gripe. On the plane, flying back from Florida to London yesterday, so that you know how they have like a touch screen in the back of your in the back of the seat, so you can watch your films on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the hint is in the name. It's just touch. All you need to do is touch it. You know. So I think the guy in the seat behind me, he didn't really get that. He thought it was a punch screen, so you have to punch the screen to get it to work. So about 6 hours into the flight, I was like, okay, I've been tolerating this, like, you know, it's like I'm understanding, it's not a big deal, he's just punching the back of my seat for the last 6 hours. But then when I'd finally fallen into a deep sleep and then got woken up by my chair being punched, I had to do something, and I didn't really think it through because I was asleep at the time. So I literally just woke up and then just smacked the back of my chair, and I was like, "Please!"
Oh.
And I wanted to say, "Are you taking the piss, mate?"
Did he get it? Did he get it? Did he understand?
Well, he didn't. I didn't have any interference on the.
Probably going to be an emergency landing.
Yeah, I was expecting security to meet me at the door, but I was like, "Come on, dude! Like, we're stuck on this plane together for the next 9 hours. Like, don't take the piss." So I'm wondering what instances have you encountered this week, FUBAR listeners, where you're like, seriously, are you taking the piss?
Yeah, yeah. We want to do this every week. This is a great opportunity to vent. You can vent.
Yes.
I had one that kind of, I think I might have even said, are you taking the piss? I probably didn't in my own Australian twang. But I was on the bus on the weekend, on Monday or something, I can't remember, yesterday. But I was getting on the front of the bus, and a lady was getting off with a pram. And I was like, you know, usually people get off at the back of the bus when they're getting off.
Mm-hmm.
But she got off at the front. And I was like, oh. So I stepped aside and was like, do you need a hand? Can I help? And then as I stepped aside, some dude from behind me was like, oh, sweet. I'm going to get to the front of the line. Pushed in front of me and pushed and like was like wedging his way past her. So she couldn't even like get off the...
Wow.
She couldn't even get her pram off the bus because this dude's like, what are you doing, lady? What are you doing?
Uh-uh.
I was like, mate, are you taking the piss, mate?
Like,
are you taking the piss?
So what about you? You guys, let us know. I know at some point this week you have thought to yourself, are you taking the piss?
Yep.
Hit us up, FUBAR Radio on Twitter, email us tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com or give me a call 0330-223-0200.
Yeah. FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, and we'll get all your stories up next.
I gotta say, we're just talking about taking the piss.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the police do kind of take the piss, don't they?
Yes.
We all encounter these moments in our day-to-day lives where you think to someone, are you taking the piss, mate?
Yeah, I know.
And we have a caller, don't we?
Who also
is backing us up on this.
You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc2KRS1. There's Sound Old Dog. Please, yes. And we are kicking off our brand new Tuesday segment. Are you taking the piss? When someone has done something to piss you off, as an example before, Sarah was just saying she was on a plane the other day and someone was punching the back of her chair. Punching.
For like 6 hours straight. It took me 6 hours until I broke. I was trying to be all like, namaste, about it. But then finally I was like, are you taking the piss, mate?
That's just not right. It's not right, is it? And we got Jennifer from Manchester on the line. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah.
Jennifer sounds so nice.
She
like
does.
She would never
have
that attitude with someone. I love Manchester, by the way. I used to go to uni in Manchester. So big ups to all the Manchester mandem.
Yay!
Whereabouts in Manchester are you? Whereabouts in Manchester?
Well, just by Didsbury, that end.
Ooh, very posh.
Yes, it's nice over there.
So what happens in just by Didsbury, Jennifer, that makes you say, are you taking the piss?
Well, you know, it was in my work, basically, you know. And we agreed a price to do the job. And then when the job was done, we got paid hardly anything.
And you are...
That's bad.
Yes, they agreed it. They headhunted us. They said, look, we're going to pay you, blah, blah, blah. You're the best girls for the job. It was in promotions, well-known store. And then when we got our wages, they taxed us, we were left with nothing, not even a crumb, seriously.
Oh, that is
all the time
really,
and
really
effort,
bad, yeah.
love
all that time
that
and
you
effort,
put into this for them.
Sweat and tears for these freaks, honestly, it was just disgusting.
That is definitely a valid time to just be feeling like, are you taking the piss or
exactly.
what?
What did you do?
Vent, Jennifer.
Definitely
Vent, you
did.
Need to get it out of the system.
What did you do? Did you? Yeah. What did you do? Did you get all staunch on them or what happened?
Well, we just said, right, we're going to do... And plus, we had to work in the cold as well. There was a big draft.
Yes,
you know?
But you're from Manchester. You're tough. You can handle
yes,
the cold.
Yes.
And the rain.
Yeah, so we walked out. We just left our aprons there and we left. That was it.
Hey,
good for you.
Yeah, good on you. That's good. They were definitely
threw
taking
the aprons
the piss,
down. I like
that. That was a great
the
one.
The aprons were left.
I know. That's it.
Like,
not
take
so
that.
For you. Not so for
yes.
you. Hey, Jennifer and Sarah, what do you think about this time? We just got an email in TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com. This is from Laura Percy saying that her dad used to accidentally send her text messages that were meant for his girlfriend.
Oh, God.
And what makes it worse? That his pet name for her is sexy. No, Dad. No. Hashtag, are you taking the piss Tuesday? Oh, that's not cool.
That's like send a shudder down your spine taking the piss. That's like disturbing. That's like traumatized for life.
That is. I need counseling myself.
I was going to say, yeah. Are you in therapy Tuesdays? No, it's not.
That's the follow-up from are you taking the piss?
I do like this, though. I think it's good to have a vent. It's good to vent. Especially because,
yeah,
you
got to vent.
You know,
I think the English people are very good at it too.
Really? Well, I find it quite polite. I'm generally quite polite. But
you get them in the right gear and they'll be throwing aprons on the floor and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what? This is another,
the beaver will come out.
Yeah. I know this is a pretty stock standard one as well, where people are walking on the wrong side of the stairs up the tube. But I had a guy dance side to side the other day. He goes like, nah, you're not getting up. You're on the wrong side. I'm like, come on, man. And he's like,
my God.
Go back down.
That's the life and death situation on the tube in London. Hey, like, you are risking life by doing that.
Thank you so much for the call,
exactly.
Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah. Bye, darling.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. I love it.
To Manchester.
No worries at all. Bye, darling. Just about time for us to get out of here. We'll come back towards the end of this and say a little goodbye. You're on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. All right, so just about us. We've got to get out of here now. We will be back next Tuesday, 4 to 6, right here on FUBAR Radio. If you want to get in touch between then, TuesdayDrive@FUBARradio.com. And Sarah Love will have Doc Brown back next week as well.
Yay!
All right, well, that's about it. Bye.
Don't worry, there'll be opportunities to say, are you taking the piss?
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to keep this going. We're with you. Solidarity.
Bye.